Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. Saudi Arabia reveals damage to oil plants after missile strike, now in the process of cleanup and repair. The U.S. and its Middle East allies still discussing a response. Southeast Texas underwater as rain from Tropical Storm Imelda continues to cause damage. Residents there trying to stay safe. Authorities out helping people evacuate as the water rises. Tea Party rally at the Capitol warns Americans of the dangers of socialism and communism. Survivors from other countries share the horrors of living under both systems. Rallygoers decry socialist trends creeping into American society. China releases American FedEx pilot, says he can't leave China until after an investigation. Arrest believed related to U.S.-China trade war, the State Department saying it's tracking the case. Saudi Arabian authorities show the damage caused by a devastating airstrike to an Aramco oil facility to reporters today.
At the oil facilities in eastern Saudi Arabia, reporters were shown repair work underway with cranes erected around two burnt-out stabilization columns and melted pipes. Officials said four missiles were what caused the damage. A mound of blackened debris lay on the ground. An executive said the scorched mess once covered much of the ground, but now only a small mound is left. The U.S., Saudi Arabia, and other Gulf allies have been discussing possible responses to Saturday's attack, which they blame on Iran. Iran denies it is behind the attack and said any U.S. or Saudi military strike against it would bring all-out war. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo described it as an act of war on the kingdom. But on Thursday, he said Trump, who has ordered more sanctions on Iran, wants a peaceful solution to the crisis. Pentagon spokesman Jonathan Hoffman dubbed the attack an international problem, calling it sophisticated and coordinated. The attack initially cut in half oil output from Saudi Arabia, the world's largest petroleum exporter. A Saudi Aramco executive said on Friday that the company is confident full production of the plants will resume by the end of September.
What's left of Tropical Storm Imelda still isn't done, as parts of Texas are underwater, with some places getting more than 40 inches of rain.
Southeast Texas underwater.
There's been a lot of water that has fallen on this city.
Still reeling after a tropical depression hammered the area. Residents were frantically trying to escape the rising waters. In Beaumont, airboats surveying flooded streets for those stranded.
Are you coming with us? We might not be able to come back, folks.
Houston's police chief was going door to door to help residents secure their homes and evacuate. Local officials scrambling to help everyone they could.
We were in the car and the water was rising pretty fast. So I got out and saw the police standing on the bridge and I started screaming and they started screaming back. And they came all the way down to the car and walked us back up here.
In Harris County, hundreds of high water rescues. But tragically, one man lost his life after driving into nearly 8 feet of floodwaters.
The vehicle continued to go forward. It did come to a pause. And according to witnesses, for some unknown reason, he just punched it and tried to drive through it some more.
Roads turned to rivers, cars stranded on Houston highways, drivers forced to abandon their vehicles.
I feel all right. I was on my way to the dentist.
Okay.
This is pretty bad. It's so much and so fast a time.
People struggling in neck-deep water. This man was spotted floating down this street. One couple in Jefferson County received this huge scare, spotting an alligator in the floodwaters near their home. That county has received more than 40 inches of rain.
The most wild thing I have ever seen. Like, this is so much worse than Harvey.
Gunfire erupted on the streets of Washington, D.C. last night. At least several people suffered gunshot wounds and two died, according to police. At around 10 p.m. local time, five people wounded and one killed in a shooting in Columbia Heights, police said. Police looking for two males armed with AK-style rifles last seen in the rear of the location, according to a tweet sent out by the department just after midnight. Another shooting occurred about 3 miles away near Brentwood Road. Two people were wounded and one killed, according to local media citing police. At this time, police are not clear if the shootings are related. A federal judge has ruled that a newly passed election law in California requiring presidential candidates to hand over their tax returns to the Secretary of State would cause President Trump and other presidential candidates irreparable harm. The judge issued a temporary injunction.
District Court Judge Morrison England Jr. ruled on Thursday to block the law for now and suggested that states making different laws for candidates would create confusion. California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, signed the law in July. The bill, SB 27, or the Presidential Tax Transparency and Accountability Act, requires a candidate for U.S. President or California Governor to file copies of every income tax return filed with the International Revenue Service in the five most recent taxable years with the Secretary of State, at least 98 days prior to the corresponding primary election. Trump sued in August to try to block the law, and four other suits were filed by others, including former presidential candidate Rock De La Fuente. California Deputy Attorney General Peter Chang tried arguing that voters need the information, but Thomas McCarthy, an attorney representing the president, said states cannot alter the guidelines for presidential candidates outlined in the U.S. Constitution. The judge said he will issue his final ruling soon.
North Korea's chief nuclear negotiator said today that he welcomed President Trump's suggestion for a new method in negotiations aimed at dismantling Pyongyang's weapons programs.
Kim Myung-gil, in a statement published on North Korea's official news agency KCNA's website, praised Trump's wise political decision to seek a new approach to the stalled talks without a troublemaker in the U.S. administration. In an apparent reference to John Bolton, Trump's former national security advisor who resigned last week. Trump said on Wednesday that Bolton's suggestion for the Libyan model set us back very badly, while his diplomacy with the North resulted in the freeze in nuclear tests and the return of remains of U.S. soldiers missing in the 1950-53 Korean War. The North's negotiator also said he wants to be optimistic that the United States would present the right calculation method at the upcoming talks.
China's foreign ministry said today an American FedEx pilot who was arrested in southern China is under investigation of suspicion of smuggling weapons and ammunition. It's the latest issue FedEx has seen in China related to the ongoing China-U.S. trade war.
The pilot, who was held in the city of Guangzhou, was later released on bail. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman said at a briefing Friday, the pilot was detained September 12 in Guangzhou while boarding a flight to Hong Kong after customs inspectors found a box holding 681 airgun pellets in his bag. The Wall Street Journal identified the pilot as Todd A. Hahn, a former U.S. Air Force pilot, was detained after pellets used in replica airguns were found in his checked bag. It said he was told he can't leave mainland China until the investigation is finished. FedEx says it is working with Chinese authorities to understand what happened. A U.S. State Department official said the department was tracking developments. Hahn's detention comes at a difficult time for FedEx, which has become one of the most high-profile corporate brands to get caught up in the U.S.-China trade dispute and other frictions. Earlier this week, FedEx slashed its fiscal 2020 profit forecast by 18%. Gordon Chang, author of The Coming Collapse of China, told Fox Business that China will use any means at its disposal to attack the U.S. He said, China has gone on a hostage-taking binge and it's only going to get worse.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is dropping out of the 2020 presidential race, ending a long-shot bid for the Democratic nomination. The Democrat made the announcement today, saying it's clearly not his time. De Blasio failed to resonate in the polls and was criticized for neglecting his duties as mayor to run for president. He also failed to qualify for the Democratic debate in September. The United States is taking back $100 million from an energy infrastructure project in Afghanistan. The State Department saying yesterday the move is because of corruption in the Afghan government.
This comes after rolling blackouts in the country and accusations in the nation's capital that the government's procurement agency is not approving fuel needed for thermal electricity. However, the U.S. says it still plans to complete the energy project, but using an off-budget mechanism instead. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was asked what message the drawback in funds sent to Afghanistan's president.
We want free and fair elections. We're going to do everything we can to support them when we need every actor in the region, every leader, every citizen in Afghanistan to work towards that end.
U.S. and Chinese deputy trade negotiators resumed face-to-face talks for the first time in nearly 2 months yesterday, as the world's two largest economies try to bridge deep policy differences and find a way out of a bitter trade war.
Beginning Thursday morning and into Friday, a delegation of about 30 Chinese officials, led by Vice Finance Minister Liao Ming, will lead talks at the U.S. Trade Representative's office near the White House, alongside Deputy U.S. Trade Representative Jeffrey Gerish. The meeting will pave the road for high-level talks in early October that will determine whether the two countries are working toward a solution or are headed for new tariffs on each other's goods. Two negotiating sessions will cover agricultural issues, particularly the U.S. demand that China purchase substantially more American soybeans. Another will be devoted to strengthening China's intellectual property protections and end the forced transfer of U.S. technology to Chinese firms. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has revealed that currency issues will also be a focus. The 14-month-long trade war has rattled financial markets as policymakers and investors worry about the global economic fallout of the dispute.
President Trump has vowed that the United States will never become a socialist country. Politicians and community members came together in the Capitol to rally behind that sentiment yesterday. NTD's Miguel Moreno has the story.
God bless the United States of America.
The rally at Capitol Hill was straightforward: stop socialism, choose freedom. Hosted by the Tea Party Patriots, the event marks the group's 10-year anniversary, and this time they discussed American values such as individual freedom and free markets, principles contrary to the socialist trends influencing the U.S. today.
Only in America do you have that kind of transition from poverty to riches as often as we enjoy here.
Brooks added that the examples are out there, underlining Venezuela's devastating inflation. With firsthand experience, a native of what was South America's richest country traced its downfall.
And they said, no, we ain't gonna get like Cuba. That's not gonna happen. Never, ever. After 20 years, it did.
And in some cases, it isn't just about the economy. It's about freedom. Jennifer Song is a survivor of the ongoing persecution of Falun Gong carried out by the Chinese Communist Party. Under the regime's so-called socialism with Chinese characteristics, she was imprisoned for her belief in truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, the main tenets of the practice.
As far as I can see, there are two battlefields in the world today. One is the war between the free world and the Chinese Communist Party. Another one is right here in the United States, between the founding principles of America, the traditional values, and the infiltration of communism.
Other speakers included radio host Mark Levin, representatives, and senators from different states. Miguel Moreno, NTD News, New York.
Up next, Hong Kong police accused of reckless behavior and torturing protesters during democracy protests. Violence viewed as retaliation against pro-democracy activists. More on that when we return. Amnesty International today accused Hong Kong police of torture and other abuses in their handling of more than 3 months of sometimes violent pro-democracy protests.
Hong Kong police have been accused of torture by Amnesty International. The human rights group issued a report on Friday with their conclusions from a field investigation into the months-long protests. In a statement, they said Hong Kong security forces had, quote, an apparent thirst for retaliation. and were engaged in a disturbing pattern of reckless and unlawful acts. They said, quote, this has included arbitrary arrests and retaliatory violence against arrested persons in custody, some of which has amounted to torture. Amnesty said retaliatory acts included one instance of shining lasers into the eyes of detainees, a tactic used by many protesters on the streets against the police. Responding to the report, Hong Kong police say they have respected the privacy, dignity and rights of those in custody and have used the minimum force necessary. Over the summer, demonstrators have lit fires across the city. They stormed and ransacked the Legislative Council and have thrown petrol bombs at police. Police have responded with tear gas, water cannons and fired off live rounds into the air. As another week draws to an end, many are expecting further clashes in the embattled city. The legislation that ignited the violence has now been withdrawn, but the protesters have five demands and say they won't stop until all are met.
Pro-democracy protests that have roiled Hong Kong for more than 3 months are providing culinary inspiration for a restaurant that offers a themed menu, including the eyeball drink, in honor of an injured medic.
In Hong Kong, politics have made their way from the street onto the menu. With anti-government protests in their fourth month, one restaurant is showing its support with a range of new dishes and drinks. One of them, a fruit mocktail that looks standard enough until you add the strawberry syrup. The eyeball drink is in honor of a medic injured in a violent police crackdown last month. Customers say it's a tribute and that it goes down very nicely.
The drink's obviously designed for the girl whose eye was injured. I think it's really impactful because it reminds us about this unfortunate incident, which we still feel strongly about. And it's also really delicious.
The menu includes rice balls named after the protesters' five demands, like universal suffrage and an investigation into whether police have used excessive force. There's also a soup called beaten raw pork, a nod to clashes that have turned violent. If you want the set meal, that'll be a full gear, as in face masks, umbrellas, and all the other ad hoc battle armor worn by demonstrators. The boss of the place, Roy Ma, said that the idea came to him last month after police stormed a nearby metro station.
Although I wasn't there, I watched videos showing people being beat up and it made me sad. So that night I came up with this idea for a set meal so that hopefully people will remember what happened.
Protests may be on the menu for some time yet. Demonstrations have shown little sign of easing and may even pick up some momentum in the weeks leading to China's National Day on October 1st.
Up next, Apple CEO Tim Cook greets fans at Apple Store as new iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro officially go on sale. New phones feature up to three specialized cameras. That and more when we return. Taiwan said today it has cut official ties with the Pacific island nation of Kiribati, losing another ally amid mounting pressure from Chinese nations that have diplomatic relations with the self-ruled island.
The Republic of Kiribati has cut diplomatic ties with Taiwan, the second country to do so in less than a week. Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen said Beijing wanted to suppress and coerce Taiwan, attempting to interfere in its upcoming presidential elections.
Their actions will only intensify but not lessen. China has only one objective, which is to change the outcome of Taiwan's presidential election. They are attempting to use these acts of suppression to tell the people of Taiwan that we cannot buy fighter jets and support Hong Kong.
Tsai said that the Taiwanese people would not bow to Beijing's pressure.
I want to firmly tell China that we have only three words to say in response to one country, two systems, not a chance.
Taiwan Foreign Minister Joseph Wu said China offered airplanes and ferries to lure the Pacific island nation of Kiribati into switching diplomatic relations. In Beijing, the foreign ministry spokesman said China highly appreciated Kiribati's decision to re-establish ties with Beijing. China has always claimed Taiwan as its territory and said it has no right to formal ties with any nation. The switch comes just days after the Solomon Islands, once Taiwan's largest ally in the South Pacific, severed ties with Taiwan in favor of China. Washington has criticized countries for switching diplomatic recognition from Taipei to Beijing. Vice President Mike Pence declined to meet with the leader of the Solomon Islands. The administration is also reassessing its assistance to the Solomon Islands.
Apple CEO Tim Cook throws open the doors of an Apple store on Fifth Street in Manhattan, New York, as the iPhone 11 officially goes on sale today.
People cheered as Cook greeted them at the door, many customers eager to get their hands on the launch of the iPhone 11 and 11 Pro. The new iPhone 11 will come with two back cameras, including an ultra-wide angle lens, while the iPhone 11 Pro will have three cameras on the back, wide-angle, telephoto, and ultra-wide. It can create videos with all three back cameras and the front camera at the same time, while the iPhone 11 Pro Max has an even bigger screen. The iPhone 11, 11 Pro, and 11 Pro Max range in prices between $699 to $1,099. The new phones enter a growing competitive market, which have seen iPhone sales decline year over year for the past two fiscal quarters.
Up next, UFO fanatics head to Nevada's Area 51 for music festival or raid of secret military facility, depending who you ask. More news after the break. An emblematic rooster sculpture salvaged from the flames the day after a blaze ravaged the spire of Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral went on display today in Paris.
The copper rooster fell 315 feet from the spire of Notre Dame as the cathedral was swallowed by flames. It is the main attraction of an exhibition that features pieces recovered from the iconic cathedral at French Culture Ministry. The dented sculpture was salvaged from the rubble in the aftermath of the fire, which destroyed the roof and its 19th century spire on April 15. Exhibition curator Judith Kagan said the rooster was bent, crumpled, and damaged when it was found in the rubble by authorities the day after the fire. After the blaze, the rooster was sent to a southern French town where a coppersmith patched it up. French Culture Minister Franck Riester said the sculpture is a survivor of the flames and has become even more of a symbol of Notre Dame. We wanted to put it on display to all those who would come here for the Heritage Days, because it has always been one of the emblems of Notre Dame, and it has become even more of a symbol now since, in a way, it's a survivor of the flames. And so this rooster should be kept at a symbolic place, and maybe back at Notre Dame, but it's too early to decide on this. Riser said authorities continue to conduct security operations on the cathedral to ensure no further damages occur. The government had announced a timeline of 5 years for Notre Dame's repairs.
Scores of UFO enthusiasts converge on rural Nevada for a pilgrimage of sorts to the U.S. installation known as Area 51, long rumored to house government secrets about alien life. They've come for two music festivals held nearby, although some are hoping for a peek behind the gates.
Alien hunters are descending on Area 51. They're hoping for a party or a peek at UFOs, depending on who you talk to. For decades, the U.S. military base deep in the Nevada desert was rumored to be the final resting place of a crashed flying saucer and its alien crew. Now it's ground zero for a weekend of extraterrestrial festivities. It all began earlier this year with a joke on Facebook, a call to storm the base. More than a million people responded. But in the months since, plans changed from a raid to a music festival. Two of them, in fact, although some fans are keeping their options open.
Are you guys going to try to raid Area
51? No.
Hey, if other people are doing it.
The government broke its silence on Area 51 some years ago, saying the base was used to test spy planes. But rumors have refused to die out. One of the music festivals, dubbed Alien Stock, is being hosted in the nearby town of Rachel, population 50. Some locals are warning they're totally unprepared for an influx of visitors. Even organizer Connie West admits some of the details are a little fuzzy.
I've been told anywhere from 5 to 50,000 could be here. I don't know if that's really going to happen or not. You know, I can't anticipate or predict what's going to happen. But do I think there's going to be a disaster? No. Do I think somebody might get hurt? Of course.
Authorities have urged visitors to bring their own food and water. They're ready to declare an emergency if things get out of hand. Meanwhile, the U.S. Air Force has made it clear that Area 51 is still off limits.
And that's all for now. Join us again this evening for your NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer.